making peace by the blood of his cross. His cross, what he suffered, made peace. It's the only peace you'll ever have. There was no peace before the cross and after the fall. To reconcile all things to himself. He was putting everything back in the proper order that God had already said it was going to be. And the beginning of reconciliation for the fallen world was the cross. The beginning of reconciliation for the fallen you is when you find the cross. It's the beginning of reconciliation. Everything getting back where it belongs. Through him, whether the things on the earth or the things in the heavens. Jesus Christ came to put everything in the earth back the way it's supposed to be. How the Father wants it. And you then being alienated and hostile in your mind by evil works, he's now reconciled you. So where does sin, the sin nature is in you. What's sin nature? We talked about this before. It's after the fall, now Satan could get into man. Before he couldn't. Demons couldn't get into Adam and Eve before the fall. The sin nature means the very nature of the enemy can live in you now. And it is your mind where these works originate. That's why I'm telling you, it's just a lie that keeps you bound. It's a lie that you have that causes you to commit sin. Hidden sins of masturbation, blatant sins of rebellion and lying, egotistical sins of haughtiness and pride, self-righteousness. All of these originate in your mind. They're not because of someone else. They're because of thoughts that you took into your mind. And yes, a lot of them came there because of what the enemy did using someone. A lot of them came there just because of your little brain trying to figure things out. And you figured it out wrong. Some of it came there straight from religion, straight from wrong teaching and preaching. But the bottom line is this. It's your mind, not Satan, that's your own enemy if you still are under the authority of Satan. Your own mind is what has made you Satan's pawn. Your own mind is what will take you back to darkness. Your own mind is what will keep you sinning. Your own mind is what will continually attack you. No wonder we need the mind of Christ. No wonder the Bible says very clearly, renew your mind, renew your mind, renew your mind. What's renewing your mind? Reading the word and getting it in your mind. Letting it come in, not as something to read, but as truth itself. That's why it's so powerful when Jesus says that he is the word made flesh. His word has power, but not under the law, but in the spirit to come in. Because in this kingdom that we're in now, the rules and the laws are written on your heart. It's God inside of you, in your spirit, actually teaching you his ways. I believe with all my heart, if you have God in you and they take your Bible from you, God would still be able, by the laws written in your heart, to cause you to do things the way that pleases God. How much greater to have the Bible to help guide us and seek the Lord. And see the things that are under the authority of Satan so we can hate those things. But I want you to get this. I want you to get this. Once you find Christ, the only part of you that really needs to change is your mind. It's that simple. You can't make it happen. You have to really get the lies out of your mind by the word of God, by the anointing on God's people, by whatever God does, however he shows you to get there. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Sanctification, setting you apart in the kingdom of God to be holy vessels who believe God more than they believe the enemy. Devil hates this message. It takes it out of your hands and puts it in your head, and then it causes you to surrender your brain and your thinking to God. It says, because all the fullness was pleased to dwell in him, Colossians 1:20, and through Christ making peace by the blood of his cross, to reconcile all things to himself through him, whether the things on the earth, the things on the heavens, and you then being hostile in your mind by evil works. Now, it's the evil works that Satan has done that has turned you against God and his ways. Okay? It's the evil works that have come into your life. It's the perversions that have turned you away from being able to believe God. Okay? But now, there's a but now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh. Let me look up the word reconciled, because that keeps coming up. Sometimes when you go a little bit deeper, you get a light bulb, you know. You kind of, reconciled. It's such a spiritual sounding word. To restore to friendship, to bring to a state of contentment, quiet submission, to make consistent in harmony, to remove those things that stop the harmony, the renewal of friendships between two parties. Oh, wow. So to be reconciled isn't about cleaning up all your sin. Jesus died not to get sin out of you. Jesus died so that you could become a friend to God. And the minute that you become born again and the Holy Spirit goes in you, you have been reconciled into a friendship with God and into a relationship with God. And the process of that relationship is sanctification, which will make you holy. Do you get that? It's your relationship with Jesus Christ that will cause you to become whole. He didn't die to heal you. He didn't die. He didn't go to the cross to get rid of sin. He didn't go to the cross because of Satan's authority and what Satan had done. He went to the cross so that he could have a relationship with you. And in the process of that relationship, as you fall in love with him, as you recognize you're in his kingdom, he sets you free for freedom's sake. The Bible says for freedom, he sets you free. He just wants you to keep your eyes on him. He wants you to want him. He wants you to fall in love with him. And what happens in that relationship is the Holy Spirit works in you to make you holy because he's holy. And the more time you spend with God, the more you seek after God, the more you fall in love with God, the more God takes away those things that you hate. And you begin to hate what he hates. You know, if you really fellowship with somebody and there's friendship with somebody, you kind of begin to come in agreement. You know, it'd be really hard to have a marriage where two people didn't agree on the basic things. So quit marrying because of lust, because then all you do is fight, because there's no agreement even from the beginning. All that's about is sex. And usually that's a game, so the minute you're married, that's not even fun anymore. Because it's perverted. We'll get into all that. But the people you hang out with and really enjoy are people who agree with you and you agree with them. That's why the Bible says, how can you have fellowship with unbelievers? What's there to fellowship about? The more you truly get your eyes on Jesus, the more those friendships just go away. Because all of a sudden you're sitting in a room and you're not interested in what was on the soap opera. You don't care about what they did at the bar last night. It's not like this stance, I can't be around you because you're evil and I'm not. It's more of a, I don't like being with you anymore. There is something very wrong in the heart of a believer who would even think of being unequally yoked. Why would you marry someone that you can't even be reconciled on the most important thing in life, and that's salvation? How do you think you're going to raise children godly without it constantly being a struggle? That's why Jesus said, when we tell our kids, don't date unbelievers, the real thing we should be telling them is, what in your heart would want to marry someone who doesn't know Jesus? Not this is the rule. The minute you say this is the rule, you put them back under the authority of Satan. The law stands there and causes them to think about dating someone who's not saved. I mean, the minute that I would tell my son, if you date someone who's not really sanctified and moving things of God, you need to bring her and let me set her free so she can be there. Then that's the first thing he would think. I'm not taking her there. But if I don't say a word, and all this truth is in his heart, which is happening, and he's really found someone he's really serious about. He's 20. He calls me and says, Mom, I know she was really rejected, and here's how she was rejected. I mean, all of that pouring in, all of that changing his heart. See, when he really is trained up in the things of God, and he has a relationship with God, when it gets down to the rubber meets the road, and lust isn't in charge of it, but he's thinking, wow, I'm really starting to like this person. How does she think about raising kids? How does she think about what would our life be? All of a sudden, he wants a Christian, born-again, spirit-filled woman. So I don't have to say. Now, at certain points, you may have to help them see what's in your heart. That's why I said, why would you want to date now? Why would you want to do this? You need to help them come to grab onto this, because when we make it law, the scriptures are clear in Romans. When you make it a law, it will bring up every sin in them, and they will try. They can't keep the law. But it's more like, why? Just ask, why? Why would you want to do drugs after you're saved? Why? Why would you need to? And then you tear that down and find out why Satan still has authority there. And you're going to find out it's because of evil works in their mind. It's not because of the addiction. It's not because of how great it feels or how wonderful it is. It's because of a lie that if I don't do this, I can't handle things. It's all based on a lie. Satan's not big and bad. He's just a big liar. No wonder he's called the father of lies. No wonder the Bible says, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. What's it making you free from? A lie. The truth is making you free from a lie. No wonder the mind is so important. 21. You being hostile in your mind by evil works, he's now reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death. He had to die to bring you into friendship with God. I want you to get this. He didn't die to take away your sins. He died to bring you into friendship with God. And the only way he could bring you into friendship with God is to take away your sins. That changes it, folks. If you think he died for your sins, then you're wrong. Because that means he died because you were evil. And it's about what Satan did. This is good. But if he died to bring you into friendship with God, he didn't die for your sins. He died for you. He died because he loved you. And the only way to bring you into the presence of a holy God was to take the sin nature of the devil and his kingdom out of the way. Oh, that's good. So everyone who's thinking, God died for my sins, God died for my sins, God died for my sins. No, God died for you. God died for you. God died to have a friendship with you. He went to the cross because he wants to have a friendship with you. And the only way that can be done, because he's a holy God, is to take care of the sin nature, or the nature of Satan's friendship with you. That's why the Bible says to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. pick your friends. I pick Jesus. Then I let him pick all the rest. But now he's reconciled in the body of his flesh, in his fleshly body as a human being. He paid the price so that you could be friends. Through his death, his horrible death, through what he went through to die, he went through all that so he could present you holy, without a blemish, and irreproachable before him. Wow. Now, he went to the cross, and he bled, and he died for the purpose of having a friendship with me. And that friendship would cause me to be holy and without blemish to stand before God one day. We have focused way too much on the sin and not on the whole truth of this great love. Don't ever question if he loves you. Now listen to this. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and settled and not being moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard proclaimed in all the creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister, who now rejoices in my sufferings on your behalf and fill up in my flesh the thing lacking of the affliction of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the assembly. Okay, I'm not going to keep going. Well, maybe I will. Of which I became a minister according to the ministration of God given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery having been hidden from the ages, from the generations, but now was revealed to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, who is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, hang on to some of these terms, because when I give you this revelation God gave me, I'm showing you where the scriptures are before I give you the revelation. Whom we announce, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man full grown in Christ Jesus, for which I labor, struggling according to the working of Christ in me, who works in me with power. Okay, what he is saying here is the heart of a true, spirit-filled, full of God minister is to see Christ formed in you. It's just reading the word, praying, seeking God, casting out demons, whatever you have to do, so that that person gets a revelation of this friendship with Christ. And they begin to have the full knowledge and understanding of how awesome this is, how real this is, how deep this is.